We're turning tonight to God's Word, to a very familiar passage of Scripture, John's Gospel and the chapter 14. It is good to see you all here this evening, and especially if you're here for the first time, it's good to have you, and we do pray that the Lord will bless you tonight and that you'll come back again. This week we intend, in the will of the Lord, to preach on some special subjects. Evangelistic subjects. Tomorrow night we'll be dealing with hell and how to avoid it. And the subject specifically will be the testimony of a man in hell. A very solemn subject, but do seek to bring the unsaved in under the sound of the gospel and bring them in to hear God's word. Then on Thursday night, in the will of the Lord, we're going to preach on, will the Lord Jesus Christ really come again? We're going to preach on the second coming. And then on Friday night, the subject will be, does the cross really make a difference? And child of God, you pray that the Lord will bless these messages, these simple messages to the heart, and pray that the Holy Spirit will come and move in the hearts of sinners. Tonight the message is simply entitled, Heaven and How to Get There. And my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, well, our prayer is that you'll listen very carefully to God's word tonight, and that even this evening you will come and find the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Thank God you can be saved tonight. You can go away from this meeting knowing that you're on your way to heaven. You can have that assurance tonight, and I pray that the Lord will so speak to your heart and bring you to himself. Now we're going to read a few verses, and if you haven't got a Bible with you, then you just listen very carefully to the reading of God's word this evening. As I said, it's a familiar passage to most of us, but maybe there's someone here tonight and, well, you're not saved and you're not familiar with the Bible. You listen to these words in John 14 verses 1 down through to verse 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for your presence with us tonight again. And we thank thee, Lord, for the privilege of being here tonight under the sound of the message of the gospel. And Lord, we do pray for those in the meeting who are not saved. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts tonight in a most definite way. And we pray, Lord, that you would open up their eyes to see the truth. Open up their hearts that they might receive the gospel of Christ. And even this evening, Lord, we pray that there might be those who will come and bow at the foot of the cross and find eternal redemption through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for thy precious word, and we thank thee for the gospel, and we thank thee that it is still the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And O God, as we consider this passage of Scripture tonight, as we look at this subject, we pray that you'd be pleased, Lord, to bless all of our hearts. But, O God, especially those who are unconverted, draw them to the foot of the cross. Fill us now afresh with the Holy Spirit. O God, we're so conscious that without thee we can do nothing. Therefore, we cast ourselves upon thee. Hide us behind the cross, far behind the cross, that none would be seen save Jesus only. For it is in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. When you study any portion of Scripture, always ask yourself three questions. Who is speaking in the passage of Scripture that you're reading? Who is the person speaking to? in the passage of Scripture that you're reading? And what is the person speaking about in the passage of Scripture that you're reading? And if you get an answer to those three questions, it will go a long way to help you understanding the particular portion of Scripture that you're studying. In this portion that we have before us, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is speaking. And on this occasion, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Now that's very important, because when the Lord Jesus Christ was in his earthly ministry, he spoke to many different people. He spoke to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He spoke at times to the nation of Israel. There were other times when he spoke to individuals, like Nicodemus and the woman of Samaria. But here in John chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, is speaking specifically and only to his disciples. And on this occasion, as the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples, he is speaking very definitely upon the subject of heaven. Now again, that's important, because the Lord Jesus, when he walked upon this scene of time, he spoke about many different subjects. But on this occasion, in John chapter 14, he is speaking specifically to his disciples about heaven. And here the Lord Jesus, as he speaks to his disciples about heaven, he teaches them three very simple facts about heaven. Now, we all know what a fact is. A fact is something that cannot be disputed. A fact is something that cannot be denied. We are all gathered in this church tonight. That is a fact. And men and women, in this portion of God's word in John chapter 14, as the Lord Jesus comes to speak to his disciples on this subject of heaven, he teaches his disciples here three facts about heaven. And very simply tonight, at the close of this gospel meeting, I want to leave those three facts with you. And let me emphasize again that if you're found here and you're not saved, I want you to listen very, very carefully. We're not coming to deal with what John Gray says about heaven, or what Thomas Martin says about heaven, or what the Free Presbyterian Church says about heaven. We're coming tonight to deal with what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says about heaven. And that is of the utmost importance. Therefore, when you leave this meeting tonight, you'll be able to say, that's what Jesus said about heaven. Now, what did the Lord Jesus Christ on this occasion teach his disciples about heaven? Well, first of all, you will notice that the Lord Jesus taught his disciples that heaven was a real place. Take a look with me at verse 2. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Underline it in your Bible, verse 3. "And if I go and prepare a place for you." You know, heaven is as real as Lisburn. Heaven is as real as Enniskillen. Heaven is as real as this province of Northern Ireland. You know, many people have got it in their minds that heaven is a fairy land. Heaven is a myth. But you know, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about heaven, he spoke about heaven as a place. Now tomorrow night, when we come to study hell, we're going to find out that hell is a place, a real place. Now of course, heaven and hell are completely different places. You appreciate that? Hell is a place of pain and sorrow and torment and eternal woe. But heaven is completely different. Heaven is a place of joy and peace and rest and eternal happiness. Indeed, heaven is described as a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Heaven is described as the holy city and the New Jerusalem. We didn't take the time to read the verses, but turn over with me just for a moment to Revelation chapter 21. Again, if you're not familiar with these words, they're some of the most wonderful words that we have recorded in the Bible about heaven, Revelation chapter 21. And they're familiar, of course, to God's people, but look at verse 4. We'll not read them all, just verse 4. Because in verse 4 we have a wonderful description of this place called heaven. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. There we have a description of what this place called heaven is like. It is a place where there's no sorrow, where there's no pain, where there's no death, where there's no separation. And of course, when we turn back to John chapter 14, we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is the focus of heaven. Heaven is a place where Jesus is. Because the Bible tells us here, indeed the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here, in verse 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Why is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul could say, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And I want you at the very outset of this message tonight to get this truth, to get this truth in your heart, especially if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God. Heaven is a place, a real place, a place where Jesus dwells, a place where there's no sin and no sorrow and no crying and no death and no separation. Heaven is a wonderful place. But I want you to notice something else here. And I want you to consider what the Lord Jesus Christ says next. Because what the Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes next here to his disciples is of the utmost importance. I could not emphasize that more. Because as the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples here on the subject of heaven, he emphasizes to them not only that heaven's a real place, but he emphasizes that heaven is only for a prepared people. Now friend, heaven's not for everybody. Now I know there's a gospel going about today, and preachers, some will tell us that at the end of life's journey, everyone's going to get into heaven. But that's not the case. Look exactly what Jesus says here in verse 2. He says to his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. And look at verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, underline that, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now I emphasized at the beginning that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking here specifically to his disciples. And I did that for a reason. And you can see the reason now. Who were the disciples? Well, the disciples were those who were saved by the grace of God. The disciples were those who had trusted Christ as their own and personal Redeemer. They had trusted him as their own and personal Savior. They were born again of the Spirit of God. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the coming Savior. You see, men and women, it is only those who are saved will enter into heaven. Only those who are born again and prepared will enter into heaven. You know, it is interesting to note here that when the Lord Jesus spoke these words to his disciples in John chapter 14, that Judas Iscariot was not among them. Judas had left the company a short time before Christ spoke these words to his disciples. Take a look there with me at chapter 13. Go back a few verses. Look at verse 30. And in that verse we read these words, he, that was Judas Iscariot, he then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So there we have Judas Iscariot leaving the company of Christ and the rest of the disciples. And then when Judas leaves the company, the Lord Jesus comes in chapter 14 and he speaks to the rest of the disciples and he promises them that he is going to prepare a mansion for them in heaven. He didn't promise that he would prepare a mansion in heaven for Judas Iscariot. Do you know why? Because Judas Iscariot was not saved. Judas Iscariot was not born again of the Spirit of God. Judas Iscariot was not prepared for heaven. You say, preacher, how do you know that? Friend, I know that because that's what the Bible tells me. The Bible describes Judas Iscariot as an unbeliever. Did you know that? Turn back to John chapter 6 for a moment. And take a look with me there at verse 64. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples here again. And this time Judas Iscariot is in the midst. And look what is said by Christ in verse 64. But there are some of you that believe not. Underline that. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. Notice how the Lord Jesus connects unbelief with the one who would betray him. Judas Iscariot was an unbeliever. Oh, outwardly, everyone thought that he was a disciple. He played the part well. But within his heart, he never had experienced the new birth. He had never been regenerated by the power of God. Look what it says there in verse 70. Jesus answered them, still speaking to the disciples, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" And of course, he was referring to Judas Iscariot. When you read Acts chapter 1 and verse 25, and you read it when you go home, you will find that when Judas Iscariot died, the Bible says that he went to his own place. He went to his own place, and that place was hell. Therefore, when the Lord Jesus comes to speak about heaven in John 14, when he comes to emphasize this fact that men must be prepared in order to get to heaven, he was not promising Judas a home in heaven. He was only promising the other disciples a home in heaven because Judas Iscariot was not a child of God. My friend, are you a child of God tonight? Not asking you, do you come to church? Not asking you, do you look like a Christian? Not asking you, do you come week by week to this house? Not asking you, do you live a good upright life? Not asking you, are you religious? I'm asking you tonight, are you born again of the Spirit of God? Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the truth is this, that it is possible. It's possible for someone to come to church, yea, even an evangelical church, all the days of their life, and still end up in a Christless eternity. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. How often have you heard that said? But my friend, that is the truth. That is the truth. And I pray tonight that if you're found in this meeting and you're not prepared for heaven, that you're not saved, that even tonight you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. It is only prepared people who go to heaven. Going to church is not enough to get you into heaven. Paul knew that he was going to heaven. Why? Because he was prepared. Paul said that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which was far better. Paul could say at the end of his life, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Peter knew that he was going to heaven. You know why? Because Peter was prepared. Peter said that he was born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Peter had the assurance that he was on his way to heaven. John knew that he was going to heaven. Why? Because he was prepared. John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." Amen. And my friend, each and every one of the disciples, apart from Judas, all knew that they were on their way to heaven. Because there was a day in their life when they had trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And here the Lord Jesus comes. He's speaking to his disciples. He's speaking about heaven. He's telling them that heaven's a real place. And he's emphasizing to them that heaven is only for a prepared people. And he's telling them that he's going to prepare a mansion for them because they belong to him. My friend, do you belong to Christ? Do you belong to Christ tonight? Do you know you're going to heaven? I don't know many things. There's many things that I'm not sure of, but one thing I'm sure of, friend, that I'm going to heaven. I'm sure that I'm on my way to glory. Not because there's anything good in me and not because I deserve it, but because the Lord Jesus died on the cross and he shed his blood for my sins. And that day when I was saved, he gave unto me eternal life. You know, the question is often asked, and I'm sure that you maybe have asked it, will we know one another in heaven? You know, the answer to that question is yes, we will know one another in heaven. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because the Bible tells me. Turn over with me just for a moment to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Now, it's a very interesting portion of Scripture, Matthew 17, because it tells us about the transfiguration of the Lord. We're here in the Mount of Transfiguration, and when the Lord Jesus went up the Mount, he took Peter, James, and John with him. Many of you will be familiar with the story. It is interesting to note here, and there's many things we could say about the Mount of Transfiguration, but it's interesting to note that Peter, who had never met Moses and Elijah before, Peter knew them. Take a look what it says there in verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. In other words, Moses and Elijah came down from heaven to talk to the Lord Jesus. And it says in verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias or Elijah. Peter saw Moses and he knew Moses. Peter saw Elijah and he knew Elijah. He had never met Moses before. He had never met Elijah before. But he knew them. And I'll tell you something, friend, when I get to heaven, I'm going to know Paul and I'm going to know Peter and I'm going to know Moses. I'm going to know the Lord. Praise God. We're going to know one another in heaven. But there's something else I want to point out here. And I don't want you to miss this. Last night we were preaching about life after death. After this, the judgment. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And we were emphasizing that once a man dies, his soul lives forever. You see in Matthew chapter 17, by that time, Moses had been dead for some 1400 years. You can read about the death of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34. And Elijah had gone to heaven some 900 years before Matthew chapter 17. But they're still very much alive. My friend, where will you be 1400 years from this date? Where will you be 900 years from this date? In all probability, the Lord will have come back before 1400 years passes, before 900 years pass. But let's just say the Lord withholds his second coming and this earth is still here 1400 years. Where will you be? You say, I'll not be in existence. That's not what the Bible teaches. Moses is still alive. My friend, my God is not the God of the dead. My God is the God of the living. He's the God of the living. And when you die, your soul will leave your body. But your soul will either go to God's heaven or it will go to God's hell, as we're going to find out tomorrow night. Heaven is only for a prepared people. Moses was prepared. Elijah was prepared. Peter was prepared. John was prepared. All the disciples were prepared. That's why Jesus said to them, I go to prepare a place for you. Now I know time's away and I don't want to go over the time tonight, But I want you to see something else here. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking to his disciples, only to his disciples. Judas is not among them. And he's speaking about heaven, and he teaches them that heaven's a real place, and he teaches them that heaven is only for a prepared people. And then he teaches them something else. He teaches them that heaven can only be entered through one person. And that's the Lord Jesus himself. Look what it says there in verse 6. Thomas is the doubter. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Then the Lord says this, a familiar text. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Friend, there's only one way to heaven. It's not through the church. It's not through the minister. It's not through the priest. It's not through religion. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. One way, God said, to get to heaven. Jesus is the only way. One way to reach those pearly mansions. Jesus is the only way. The Bible says, for neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Paul said to Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And tonight I want to point you to Christ, to the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. Friend, you can get to heaven. You can go to heaven. You can prepare for heaven. That's the good news of the gospel, and that's why this gospel mission has been organized and planned. That's why we seek to bring you in to preach the gospel to you, because you can be saved, and you can know it, and you can have the assurance that heaven is your home. But before heaven can be your home, you must come to Christ and to him alone. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. Why is the Lord Jesus the only person that can bring us to heaven? First of all, because of his person and who he is. The Lord Jesus is the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the second person in the Holy Trinity. And because of his work and what he has done and accomplished upon the cross. He died for your sins. He shed his blood for your iniquities. He hung on that old rugged cross and paid the penalty for your transgressions. And because he has died and shed his blood for you and me, praise God, he will save us. He will redeem us. Because the price has been paid. He cried, it is finished. And when he cried, it is finished, man's redemption was completed once and for all. And praise God, it's never to be repeated. For it satisfied divine justice. And God the Father is well pleased, because he said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My friend, are you going to heaven? Would you like to start your journey tonight? Well, you can. But you must come to Christ. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee this evening that you're able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee. And O God, we recognize tonight that we have only scratched the surface of this place called heaven. There's so much more we could say. But O God, I pray for those in the meeting tonight who are still strangers to grace and to God. I pray, Lord, you'll save them. And I pray, Lord, you'll work in their heart and draw them to Christ. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we're going to sing two verses of the little hymn we sang last night. Just listen to the words. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Listen to the second verse. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. My friend, I wonder, do you want to come to Christ tonight? The meeting's almost over. In a few moments, the Reverend Martin will be closing in prayer, and then we'll be going home. But We want to give you the opportunity to come to the Lord tonight. Is there someone here and the Lord has spoken to you? The Lord has been speaking to you. And you know you're not ready for heaven. Maybe there's someone here and you're not sure whether you're saved or not. Make sure tonight. Maybe there's someone here and you're a backslider. You need to return to your first love. Give your life afresh to the Lord. Friend, as we sing these two verses, I want you to do something for me. I want you to put your hand up. Now, putting up your hand will not save you. The night I was saved, I put up my hand in a meeting like this. It didn't save me, but I needed someone to point me to Christ. I needed someone to help me, and maybe that's your situation tonight. You put your hand up, I'll acknowledge it. You can take it down again, and then we'll pray with you. But friend, don't be afraid and don't be ashamed to step out for Christ tonight, because remember this, He was not ashamed of you. He went to the cross to bear away your sin. We'll sing this lovely hymn. Has spoken to you tonight. My friend, you can know that you're saved this evening, and you can know that you're going to heaven. Is there someone? Just put your hand up now. Wherever you're sitting, man or woman, boy or girl, come to Christ tonight. Turn to the Lord, and the Lord will save you. Perhaps you're not sure whether you're saved. Well, friend, make sure tonight. Step out for Christ. Is there someone? Just put your hand up now.
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul.
Is there someone before we close? You want to come to Christ this evening. Maybe you're a backslider. Maybe you once walked well with the Lord. But tonight you're in bypath matters. Is there someone, friend? Just come to the Savior now. Put your hand up now. That's right. Do it now.
Then maybe you couldn't get your hand up. But we like to give you the opportunity. While others are leaving, you wait behind and seek the Lord. Speak to the Reverend Martin or myself or someone that's with you. We have a little book here, a new beginning we would like to give you as well. And if you're concerned about your soul, ask us and we'll give you that little book. It's a plain man's guide to the Bible doctrine of salvation. Friend, don't leave the meeting tonight without Christ. Come and trust the Lord.
Our gracious God and eternal loving Father, we thank Thee for a sense of Thy presence. We thank Thee for help given in this meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for the congregational singing, the special singing of Thy servant, the reading and preaching forth of Thy holy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. We praise Thee for heaven. What a wonderful place. And we thank Thee, our Father, that Jesus is the only way to heaven. We bless Thee, our Father, that those who come to Him will find that He is the door to heaven. He is the way, He is the gate that leads to life and home. And we ask, O God, that Thou wouldst give deciding grace. We think of some, perhaps, who are halting between two opinions. Lord, we ask that Thou wouldst be pleased to work in their hearts. Bestow upon the needy the gifts of repentance from sin and faith alone in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, our Father, that sinners will heed the warning voice, that they will make the Lord their final choice. Then all heaven will rejoice be in time. Lord, we pray they'll come from darkness into light. They will come and make Let Jesus make them right. Amen. They will come and start for heaven tonight. Amen. But let them be in time. Hear prayer tonight. part us in thy fear and with thy favour. May those of us who were saved leave this house prayerfully and very carefully, pondering the things we have heard. But for those who are backslidden, for any who are unconverted, God grant that they will wait behind and do business with God this night. Hear our cry. We offer prayer in the Saviour's precious and worthy name. Amen.